Well, there's a lot to be said and a lot that's been said already. Fundamentally, transportation is a foundation for metropolitan economies. And we seem to have lost sight of that in the New York region and elsewhere in the United States. We've got a national political culture, as Bruce said, that is really about about privatizing everything, about cutting the public sector and leaving the public infrastructure, like the transportation infrastructure, to fend for itself. We're doing the same thing with schools in New York. We haven't done it yet with police, but I suppose we could, and so forth. And let me just ask a little rhetorical question. If you agree with me that transportation is a fundamental public service that is a foundation for a civilized society and a growing economy, along with schools and the police, just bear with me for a moment. How many of you think the police should be a money-making activity, a self-financing activity? I know it is in some parts of the country, but does it have to be? You know, how many of you agree with that idea, that the police ought to make money or at least break even? Anybody? Any hands? Okay. How about education, public schools, K through 12? You know, well, you should be making money with public schools, shouldn't we? No. Okay. Should they be self-supporting? I mean, shouldn't the kids be out, you know, selling cookies and stuff so that they can pay for their schools, all right? Maybe we should have love hotels next to the public schools so we can pay for the, you know, okay, I just don't want to go there. But that's kind of how we're approaching transportation, that somehow this is now being forced to you know, fend for itself, certainly politically, and now pay for itself. And we can't sustain a trillion-dollar economy, the largest metropolitan economy in the Western Hemisphere, and maybe the second largest in the world after Tokyo, unless we continue to sustain this system. And that's what's at risk. And we saw with Dick the kind of leadership that this system has had. And it's a remarkable system. And I have to disagree with Buzz that I don't think we should be talking now about redesigning these institutions. I think it's a distraction. The MTA is well-run and well-led and efficient. Can you tinker with it? Obviously you can, but I don't think we need to turn these institutions inside out, and that would become an excuse not to make the fundamental investments that we need to make. We define the region a little differently. If you look at the region as RPA does, it's really 22 million people. It's a trillion-dollar economy. We have the potential. The state's own forecasts are that we've been a part of, we agree with, that the region has the potential to add 4 million new residents by 2030, about 3 million jobs. All those jobs are, you know, heading someplace else unless we can create new capacity for growth. We've got the oldest metropolitan transportation infrastructure in the world. We built the subways second only after London. We built the first metropolitan highway system with Robert Moses and his friends in the 1930s and 40s, decades before Los Angeles got around to it. And it's both falling apart and it's used up. The capacity's used up. The other, Dick mentioned one important statistic, you know, result of the kinds of investments that we made in the transit system as well as getting safe streets and other things. New York City added more new residents than any other city or county in the United States in the 1990s. One interesting statistic. Second interesting statistic, which county in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut metropolitan region added the most or the largest percentage increase in population in the 1990s? Answer, Pike County, Pennsylvania. The only bright spot in the Pennsylvania economy is the overspill because it's the only place in the metropolitan area where we got capacity in our transportation infrastructure on Route 78 and 80, and they're using that up fast. But that's where the growth is going to go. It's going to be on its way to Denver and Houston and other places that are, I don't know how many lanes they'll add to the Katy Freeway, but they'll keep adding them to create the capacity. And we don't have that luxury here. So we need to continue to invest in this. What's missing is not, you know, is not the institutional will. We've got a very well, as you can see, well-led institution here with the MTA, the Port Authority, I think is coming back, and so forth. Can we improve these? Yes, of course we can. But the real issue is getting the political leadership, getting the business leadership, the civic leadership behind these critical investments. Dick did a brilliant job 25 years ago in getting the governor and the mayor and the political leadership of the state. He did it arm in arm with the civic and the business community. We need to do it again. we can think about creative financing, and there are some things that, you know, that are working in this region already and in other places that the MTA is now working on. Sort of a funny process to get to the notion of station area development, like Alejandro suggested, but that's where we're going on the west side yards, not only the western yards, but the eastern yards. Together, those are probably worth $2.5 billion today. Developed, there could be worth quite a bit of money to the MTA and could generate ridership and so forth. And again, I think the worst thing is to get lost in debates about the priorities within these projects. There's $30 billion worth of expansion projects. We need them all. We haven't built any new capacity for 60 years, and that's why we have this long list. And, you know, Carl and Buzz and I and others and Kathy debating the priorities on this list, let's have that debate, but let's make the commitment to move ahead with a very, very significant investment in new capacity at the same time that we sustain and modernize these systems. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy Wild.